The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the hole 6010. Fantasy Focus. Fantasy, Fantasy Focus.
What is up, everybody? I got Mike Clay here to my left.
What's going on, my friend?
What's up, buddy? I got Al Zeidenfeld on the phone.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy. Really excited to be able to do another DFS podcast this week. We're going to get into our week three recap at the end when Mike and I pick our lineups and Al decides which one of us is smarter than the other. But you know what we want to do? We just want to get right into it because there's so much fun football to talk about here. So we're just going to jump right in with the caveat that if you want to play against Mike and I, you can join our weekly contest, unlimited participants, free to enter, $200 in weekly prizes. Mike Clay is going to tweet it out, at Mike Clay NFL. I'm going to do the same, at Daniel Dopp. You can find the link in there to come join our league. Maybe you can win some money and it doesn't cost you anything
money
to enter.
Yeah,
you know?
Let's do it. So yeah, we're going to talk some the best value plays DraftKings this week in the main slate. So a lot to get to here, as you mentioned.
It's going to be dope. All right, let's start with quarterback, where Mike, Case Keenum... Case Keenum
feels gross.
Just getting this out doesn't feel great. Case Keenum, $4,900 against the New York Football Giants. I'm assuming that you believe the Giants can be had in this matchup.
I'm going to try a word out here. Case Keenum, a dope play. Can I do it? Can I pull off dope like Daniel Dopp?
You do what you do what feels
well.
Natural to you, buddy.
You pull it off well. I'm trying dope out. Case Keenum, a dope play against the Giants this week. Have him a little under 21 points. Look, he's the number 11 scoring fantasy quarterback so far this season. He's been pretty good. It's really been about volume, right? Top four in dropbacks, pass attempts, completions, yards, touchdowns, 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I mean, he had, 4 turnovers against Chicago? Still, I mean, he had 7 touchdowns, 3 picks this season. Still a pretty good ratio. He's completed almost 70% of his passes, 7.5 yards per attempt. I mean, he's been competent so far, even with that rough game against the Bears. And, of course, he's playing the Giants. The most passing yards allowed already this season at 1,038. The worst yards per attempt at 10.5. They've also allowed 8 passing touchdowns. That is 4th most in the league. So it's just one of those things. And season-long, he's a streaming option in DFS. You can save money at quarterback and roll with Case Keenum.
All right, well, let's look at the other side of that because Daniel Jones is another guy that you like, $5,300. The Redskins seem to have a pretty good run defense, but you think obviously through the air Daniel Jones is going to be able to attack this team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Jones, obviously terrific in his debut, 336 passing yards. He also ran for 28 yards and had 4 total touchdowns. 2 of those were rushes, and 6 is more than 4.
Yes,
math,
accurate.
Hashtag math, hashtag analytics. Yeah, he had 2 rushing, 2 passing, and of course you get a few more for the rushing. He can run the ball. That's not a fluke. There's no question about it that is in his arsenal. We also saw him push the ball downfield, had an above average depth of throw. And that might not seem significant, but Eli Manning didn't really do that the last few years, right? Yeah. So that's a good sign.
Eli hasn't done a lot the last few years, but
this is true. And Daniel Jones, a smart guy. 19 of his 36 throws went to Evan Ingram and Sterling Shepard, his 2 best players. You like seeing him get the ball in the hands of his best players. Also, Saquon Barkley's going to be out for a while. I don't think that's going to hurt the offense much because they'll throw it more, and that's good. You want him to throw the ball. It should help Jones' fantasy stock and should certainly help out this Giants offense. You mentioned the Redskins defense, by the way. 9 passing touchdowns allowed, even worse than the Giants. It's the second most. 79% of passes thrown against him have been completed. That is worst in the league, and they've also allowed 76 rushing yards to quarterbacks, which is 4th most. This sets up for a big game. We're talking about the 2 quarterbacks from the same game here, Jones against Keenum. I think they're both good value plays.
Love that. L.A. Smooth, Al Zeidenfeld, Al Smizzle. I'm just going to say all 3 of them so I make sure I get all of them in.
Every nickname you can.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to be able to roster all of them. Russell Wilson, $6,100 at home against the Cardinals. What is it you like about Russ this week?
I mean, there's one place that you can be a schoolyard bully, right? And it's daily fantasy sports, right? Mm-hmm. So I like to pick on the 3-legged wildebeest in the herd. I'm not trying to take down the strongest one. And Arizona, their defense is one of the 3-legged wildebeests in the safari of daily fantasy. We're going to be picking on them all season long. They play at a really fast pace, and they allow teams to be extremely efficient. They've allowed 9 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions so far this season. And on the other side of it, Russell Wilson has had multiple pass touchdowns in all 3 games this year, 16 of his last 19 games with multiple touchdowns since the beginning of last season. I'm going to be picking on Arizona. I'm going to be picking on Miami basically all season long. We are always looking for those three-legged wildebeests any single week. This week is no different.
Okay. Love that. I also just want to mention Matthew Stafford against...
Oh, weird. A Lion? Okay.
Okay, calm down now. I mean, he's going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Last six quarterbacks to host the Chiefs and throw over 35 pass attempts against the Chiefs have averaged 27.3 DraftKings points per game. Stafford is averaging over 35 points pass attempts per game, so I think he's going to get a large volume. Plus, they're just going to have to throw. They're going to be down a whole bunch, so they're just going to have to throw a whole lot. Let's move ahead to running back, Mike, where... You have a guy that is just so hard for me to feel comfortable with week in and week out, but Leonard Fournette, $6,000 against the Denver Broncos. Help me with the feelings that I have about having Leonard Fournette in my lineup.
Yeah, is to steal a phrase from Field Yates, which is ingrained into my head now because of today's earlier podcast, this will be a good litmus test, or Leonard Fournette is a good litmus test, at least for volume, chasing volume versus chasing fantasy points, sure, chasing touchdowns. Fournette getting an insane amount of playing time so far. I mean, he's making Le'Veon Bell look like a committee back here. 94% of the snaps so far, 91% of the carries, 21% of the targets. It sort of worked. He's been a top 25 running back all 3 weeks in terms of fantasy points. So it supplies him with a high floor, but will the efficiency come? Will the goal line work come? Will the touchdowns come? If they do, this guy is going to really explode into a terrific fantasy asset. So I think he is, because of that high floor, a good 50-50 or cash game play. Keep in mind, too, the Broncos defense, we consider to be pretty good. You know, at times they'll be very dominant against the pass, but they've been getting beat up a little bit by running backs so far. 73 carries against, it's fifth most. They've also allowed 5 touchdowns to running backs. That's the most. You saw Aaron Jones score twice against them last week. Yep. And also 7 carries inside the 5 by opposing running backs. That is second highest. So teams are attacking them in that area, and that could be the case again this week with Leonard Fournette.
Okay, in the same game, are you just picking players in the same game because it's less work for you to do? Is that what this is?
That's the easiest way to do it. Yeah, just look at one game, done. On to the next one.
Philip Lindsay, $5,200. Obviously, Lindsay has, I've liked the way that he's looked this year. There's been a couple times where like the workload split between him and Royce Freeman is a little bit more 50-50 than I would like, but last game he looked fantastic. This week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, $5,200. What is it that you're thinking about Philip Lindsay this week?
Yeah, a little different than last year. Fantastic in terms of volume, not in efficiency.
Correct.
The efficiency has been atrocious so far. And by the way, we picked two running backs from the same game last week. Aaron Jones and Philip Lindsay combined 4 touchdowns. They actually did pretty good.
They did well.
Maybe we're onto something here. We'll keep following that lead. But Philip Lindsay, RB10 on the season so far. He's handled 54% of the carries for Denver, which is probably wanted a little higher, but it's okay. But also 17% of the targets. There's no more Devontae Booker. He is the guy in the passing game, at least until Theo Riddick comes back later this season. It's a run-heavy offense, so that 54% of the carries can kind of suffice in that sort of offense. So you like that, and you love the huge passing game workload. He's actually RB3 in OFP, or expected fantasy points. He's gotten so much volume that it's really added up. Again, I mentioned the poor efficiency, 3.6 yards per carry, terrible after contact, just like last year, only 5.7 yards per target. I think he's talented enough that he can improve those numbers. And I mean, that's coming from someone who was kind of hard on him in the offseason,
sure,
as a guy that, you know, was probably going to regress. I mean, he has, but he's overcorrected. I think he'll settle in, and the volume here is good. By the way, the Jags pretty good against running backs so far and last season. But, I mean, Lindsay, he's only $5,200. They're at home. And, again, you're chasing the volume here over the efficiency. So maybe in tournaments he's a good play, too, as a bit of a contrarian. You think teams are going to – or people will be scared off by that Jacksonville D. But for me, you know me. I'm chasing the volume, and he's getting it.
That's what it's all about is volume. Smiz, another guy that's gotten a ton of volume and is going up against a really weak Dolphins defense. Austin Eckler, $8,000. You're paying up for Austin Eckler this week at running back.
I am. This looks like a team jam him in week where we're going to go with a lot of pricey running backs. We're going to find value because there is good value at wide receiver as well. So for me, I'm looking to pay up. So just like Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter, Dwayne Wade had their farewell tours, this is the Austin Eckler value farewell tour as MG3 reporting back this week. Probably not going to play until week 5, maybe week 6. This might be the last week we get a chance to roster Austin Eckler, and it's against the fantasy carnival that is the Miami Dolphins defense. I mean, basically anything you want to look at shows that every team has done great against them, whether it's with the pass, whether it's a receiver, whether it's a running back. They increase efficiency, loads of touchdowns. Austin Eckler with his 6+ catches in every game this year, gives him a really high floor in full PPR. I'll pay the $8K. I still don't think that he's priced high enough. I think he should be an $8,500 to an $8,800 player with the role that he has. So give me Austin Eckler, and there's plenty enough value, as you guys have already pointed out, at quarterback and running back to make it work.
Okay. Guy that I like this week, Chris Thompson against the Giants. Chris Thompson has a 15-plus yard catch in all three games this season, and the Giants are allowing the fifth most yards per catch to running backs this season. Obviously, Chris Thompson is the pass catching back there. So if for any reason they get down or they just need to be, especially in those third down plays, I like Chris Thompson. And, you know, Kerryon Johnson, really good value against the Chiefs this
week. Should be a lot of offense in that game.
A lot of offense. Moving on to wide receivers, where Mike Clay breaks out and looks at more than one game at a time. And Christian Kirk, $5,100 going up against the Seattle Seahawks. Mike, Christian Kirk has been getting a ton of looks in the passing game. Is he going to turn that into more efficiency this week?
I think so. And I think we talked about him last week as well, and he didn't fully come through, so he's still a value at $5,100 against a Seattle Seahawks defense. It's really weak at the perimeter corner, so you like that for sure. I mean, Kirk, playing time has not been a problem. 88% of the snaps so far. He's handling a team-high 24% target share. That's right, more targets so far than Larry Fitzgerald. He's actually fourth in the entire NFL at the wide receiver position with 31 targets. And what is it added up to? 20 catches, 205 yards, and no touchdowns. So the touchdowns haven't come, but the volume as a pass catcher has been there. You like that for sure. He's actually 10th at wide receiver in OFP, or expected fantasy points, but he's 29th in fantasy points. So again, he's a little undervalued. He's going to turn this volume into production going forward, and we've started to see that, right? He's been a top 25 fantasy wide receiver in back-to-back weeks, and there's room here for more. I like that. By the way, Seahawks defense, top 12 in pass attempts, pass completions, and passing touchdowns with 6 allowed already this season. Shapes up for a good Christian Kirk week.
Yeah, seems like a good matchup there. I feel like you cheated a little bit on this next one, because where it says 2, it says Redskins wide receivers, and you just have all of them listed here. Trey Quinn at $3,000, Terry McLaurin at $4,500, and Paul Richardson at $3,700. Especially McLaurin and Richardson, that number just seems low based on some of the stuff that they've done recently.
Listen, Steve Sims and Kelvin Harmon aren't here, so
that's
I didn't
fair.
List them all.
You're right.
And no Josh Doctson, who's on Minnesota's IR now.
Poor Josh Doctson.
We're focusing on the good ones. They actually have a good trio here in place. But, yeah, look, we talked about this after week one, right? So sometimes guys play on Monday night, they have a big game, and their prices aren't adjusted because the price is already out. And
yep.
That kind of happened here because the Redskins offense produced pretty well. Richardson and McLaurin and Case Keenum, for that matter, in fantasy. So you're still getting a value here. Trey Quinn is at $3,000. Terry McLaurin's at $4,500. And Paul Richardson at $3,700. Look, McLaurin has been a top 20 fantasy wide receiver all 3 weeks so far. F1, as I like to call him. F1. That's his nickname for sure.
We'll make that happen.
Lock it in. 3 touchdowns already, 1 in each game, averaging over 16 yards a catch. There's just so much to like. I mean, McLaurin is 12th in the league at in receiving yards. I mean, he has been money so far, actually 7th in OFP. Paul Richardson, by the way, 24th at receiver in reception so far. He's 2 touchdowns, 2 end zone targets. He's a top 10 receiver last week. Obviously, he's been delivering. And, of course, Trey Quinn, you know, his yardage totals haven't been good, 30, 36, and 33, but he's had 6+ targets in all 3 games and has a good matchup here against Gray and Haley. And speaking of good matchups, that is the case. That's the big needle mover here for McLaurin and Richardson. They're going up against a Giants defense that has allowed the most receiving yards so far and yards per reception to receivers. They've also allowed 6 touchdowns to receivers. It's 3rd most in the league and the 2nd most fantasy points to the wide receiver position, including the most to perimeter receivers. That's where McLaurin and Richardson, of course, align primarily. So like both of these, honestly, all of these guys at value plays. Quinn, the lowest floor, but again, he's the cheapest at $3,000. You don't need a lot. You know, you don't need a lot from him to pay off. And maybe you could spend up elsewhere and fire him up. Maybe he catches 6-7 balls in this game.
Yeah, it seems nice, especially if you have that Case Keenum stack where you can put any of these guys together. And you have a pretty...
Perhaps foreshadowing.
Oh, interesting thought there, Mike Clay. Al, you're looking at a guy that I have just loved for the longest time. Cooper Kupp, $6,500 going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Are you trying to take credit for Cooper Kupp right now?
Nope.
He's a big...
He's great. I love Cooper Kupp. He is the best wide receiver in this Rams offense. I'm just going to say that. I like him more than I like Robert Woods. I like him more than, like, I think Jared Goff likes him more than he likes Brandon Cooks,
yes,
or Robert Woods.
Definitely this year.
So, but Al, talk to me about Cooper Kupp going against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home.
You mean aside from the fact that for the last year and a half, Cooper Kupp has been the Rams' real MVP?
Yes, other than that, other than that very small tidbit.
Okay, well, Cooper Kupp leads the Rams with about 22.2% of their red zone targets. He's seen multiple red zone looks in 31% of his games. And I really like it, Daniel, when the puzzle pieces kind of fit together. And when you look at who the matchup is against in Tampa Bay, you've got the second worst red zone defense since the beginning of last season. They've allowed a touchdown on 70.6% of their opponent's red zone trips. So with Todd Gurley on a pitch count, and really not being utilized as much, whether they say he's on load management or not, whatever they're doing, he's not getting as many touches. He's not getting as many touches near the red zone. He's definitely not getting as many targets as the Rams' targets are one of the lowest in the league, if not the lowest in the league. I'm not fact-checking this. I know that they're down there when it comes to targeting their running backs this season versus last. And Cooper Kupp has basically been completely steady, 31 targets through 3 weeks. I'll take the volume. The price isn't high enough, so I'll take the value there as well, and all that touchdown upside.
Okay. You got to love the touchdown upside from that. Cooper Kupp is just a guy that gets so many looks. I love being able to have.
Yeah. So ridiculous. So a 33% target share so far, just crazy.
Crazy. Another guy, a couple guys here. Keenan Allen on pace for 155 catches, Mike Clay. 2,155 yards and 16 touchdowns at the pace he's currently on. Do you think Keenan Allen over or under on that stat line?
We can make any bet. Any wager, I'll take the under.
Okay, that's fair.
Put anything on the table.
The Dolphins are on pace to allow just over 53 touchdown passes this year. That's one per every 10.7 pass attempts that results in a touchdown. That's insane how bad this Dolphins team is.
At least they like had a good young defensive back they didn't trade away. They would never do that, right?
Oh,
of course, Minka Fitzpatrick traded to the Steelers. Yeah, it's a mess there for sure. And listen, by the way, I would take the under on Allen because he's just on a ridiculous pace, but he's going to be great.
He's going to be fantastic.
The guy's great.
Curtis Samuel, another guy that we like the value of this week against the Texans. Let's move on to tight end where Mike Clay is trying to speak near and dear to my heart, having TJ Hockenson on this list. $3,300 against Kansas City. Here's the deal. We saw Hawk break out in week one. And then these last 2 weeks, he's definitely come back to earth and he's looked like what I thought a rookie tight end would look like in this league. But against Kansas City, with the idea that the Chiefs are going to throw so much and the Lions are probably going to be playing from behind and going to have to throw, I'm assuming that's why you have TJ Hockenson as a good value here.
Not a lot of confidence in your team there. You keep saying they're going to be behind. They're going to be behind.
Well,
they're undefeated.
I have watched the Chiefs play football.
Yes.
So that is a part of it.
Fair point. By the way, is Hawk his nickname? Did you say Hawk?
Hawk.
Is that what we call him? Is that like
his
pet name? Or
TJ and I have a thing. No big deal.
You're bros. Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, anyway, I'm in on the Hawk this week. They're only $3,300. So, I mean, people are going to be afraid of him, but he's still cheap. And you mentioned the matchup here, but you're right. I mean, we've seen his upside, 6 catches, $131 and a touchdown in week one. And again, here's why people are going to be afraid, including me. I'm still nervous about this one. 7 targets, 2 catches, 8 yards, no touchdowns, but he was open at times. At times he was wide open. At times he had a ball in his hands for a touchdown, I think more than once. I mean, he has had some bad luck as well. I think he is going to kind of be the outlier and be a productive fantasy tight end as a rookie. I mean, he's playing a lot, 71% of the snaps. He's running around on 63% of their pass plays. And also on top of the Chiefs, you know, you need to play catch up against the Chiefs. We know that. But they also have given a ton up specifically to tight ends. 38 targets, 26 catches, 232 yards already to tight ends. The target and reception number I just said, both highest in the NFL. The yards are fourth highest. Also 5 end zone targets allowed. That's second highest. And we know that's where Hockenson can be a weapon for this offense. So definitely like Hockenson as a value play if you want to save some money at that spot.
All right. Another guy that you like, Greg Olsen, $4,200 taking on the Texans. G-Reg has been a guy that he's put together some nice games so far this year, and it looks like you want that to continue against the Texans.
I want it to if I'm playing him, for sure. I want him to because I want our pod to be super successful.
Oh, is that what it is?
Saying things about him that we're gonna recommend him, so I definitely
want him to be good.
More importantly, I think he is going to be a good play. A top 5 fantasy tight end 3 years in a row before the injuries really piled up the past 2 years. So his success this year is nothing really new. I mean, he's a top 5 tight end in pass routes, targets, yards, touchdowns, OFP. His 23% target share, believe it or not, that's a high number. 23% target share is a very generous target share, especially for a tight end. But it's actually lower than his 25% and 24% shares his last 2 full seasons. So he's not even getting that massive volume that he was before. At least it's a slight step down, and he's still delivering terrific in terms of fantasy production. Comes in at 4,200 here against the Houston defense. It's been fine out of the gate against tight ends, but they have been awful in this Bill O'Brien defense the past couple of years. In fact, last season they allowed 94 catches for 1,078 yards and 9 touchdowns. All those top three in terms of being bad against tight ends. Just really bad in that area the past couple of years. So Olsen set up here with what I think is a good matchup over the large sample, and he's been getting a ton of volume. So I like him. Yeah, I like him a lot.
Okay. Smiz, you're looking at a guy that is just going to be the only tight end in this offense, it seems like. Will Dissly, $3,600, taking on the Arizona Cardinals. I cannot believe that Will Dissly has made his way into legit fantasy relevance in 2019, but I'm stoked for the kid. Talk to me what you like about Will.
I mean, can I ask Mike a couple of questions here? Mike, you ready for these?
These are going to
be tough questions.
All right.
Okay. Are the Arizona Cardinals playing football this weekend?
Checking my notes, yes.
Okay, they are. Does the team that they are playing employ a tight end?
They traded one away this week, Nick Vanette, but yeah. Yes, they still have Will Dissly, yes.
They still have Will, so I'm playing Will Dissly. It's basically that simple, okay?
That's a lot of numbers. That's a lot of questions.
I'm going to be doing that every single week. I am going to be playing a tight end against Arizona. I've done it for 3 weeks so far, and I'm going to continue doing it for the rest of the regular season, because Arizona just provides so much value, especially to tight end, allowing so many touchdowns against tight ends and so many catches. Will Dissly also, if you want to take a look at, well, you know, he blocks a lot. Yeah, he's blocking about half the time, but when he does run routes on their dropbacks, he's being targeted about 25% of the time on those. He's got the highest red zone market share on that team with 4 targets, 26% of the time, and 3 touchdowns on those targets. So he's getting utilized in the highest leverage spot on the field. And I think they're going to get down into the red zone against Arizona. And he's got one of the most efficient quarterbacks in terms of red zone usage in the entire NFL. I like Will Dissly this week. The volume's going to be solid enough for the price, but the touchdown upside, again, is what I'm chasing here to be the cherry on top.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm looking at a chart right now here, which just looks at like how each defense does against certain positions. And it's like red means they're tough, green means they're good. I mean, this is bright green. Every single category, they're fourth or worst against tight end so far. It's unreal.
All right.
They allowed over 20 points per game every single game this year so far to tight ends. Why am I going to get off that train? Yeah.
Yeah, 88 points in 3 games. Unreal. Yeah.
Apparently, Al Zeidenfeld knows something about DFS if he's just playing tight ends against the Cardinals. I mean, I don't know how much he knows, being that he took Mike Clay's lineup in the Week 3 showdown. But I think it's at the point where we're going to talk about quick Week 3 recap. Mike, how many points did you finish with your Week 3 lineup?
That is a good question. I'll say this. Here's my answer.
There's
I'm still
a very definitive
for the
number.
Season.
Yeah,
there's beating you for the season. I had a buck, a little under buck 42.
Okay. And I had 161 last week, so
yeah,
I won that week. It's funny, I'm actually 2-1 in the standings, but I've scored less total points than Mike has.
Yes, you laid an egg in week 2 for sure. But that's all right. We're hanging in there. You know, we're still winning coin with these lineups, right? So I did, that was my first down week. You had one down week as well.
Yep.
But I think we're, you know, the picks have been good. The values have been fine.
Yes,
we're hanging
have.
In there. We're
hanging and this
there.
Week, Dr. Jones comes in with our winner as 247.4 fantasy points in his DraftKings lineup. 247 is a good number.
That is a great number.
Yeah. I wonder if he's a real doctor.
I don't know. He might be. A doctor of DFS.
He had top men on his lineup, by the way. Top men.
There you go. There
All
you
right.
go.
Anyway.
So I am up 2-1 this year so far. Mike Clay, why don't you give us your week 4 DraftKings lineup?
Yeah, we talked about the stack before, and I don't always stack in 50-50s or cash games. I don't think you need to. You just want the highest floors, the best values you can find, mixed in with some stars. And so but nonetheless, I'm still going to go with the stack this week as it works out with the money for sure. Case Keenum's my quarterback. I have Paul Richardson and Terry McLaurin at wide receiver. I think this game is going to have plenty of points, and those connections will do just fine. At running back, Christian McCaffrey against Houston, Devonta Freeman against Tennessee, and I'm going to throw Leonard Fournette in there. As we talked about him earlier, I'm going to throw him in my flex. Keenan Allen, we talked about him. He's been pretty good against the Dolphins this week. I don't think he's going to see a lot of Xavien Howard because Allen does go into the slot quite a bit, so he is my big spender at wide receiver. And Travis Kelce, I've kind of been riding him at tight end, but I mean, I still think at 7,200 playing the Lions, I still think he's a terrific value. At least the math says so. So he's in the optimal lineup here, and Panthers defense at only 2,300 in that defensive slot.
All right, Mike, you mentioned your optimal lineup. If you head on to ESPN.com as a part of an ESPN Plus article, you can find all of these great value plays. You write about it every single week. You'll be able to see good, great, average, shaky, everything. It just breaks it down in such an easy, simple way for you to be able to construct a lineup right there. On top of that, Al Zeidenfeld, I know you write the Best Buys article, which is also available on ESPN.com. Mm-hmm. So go check those out. Both of those are fantastic articles for you to look at to be able to help you set your lineups. And with that being said, here is the Week 4 winning lineup for Week 4. I am taking Matthew Stafford as my quarterback. Again, like I said, going up against the Chiefs, there are going to be a lot of points. I am taking Kerryon Johnson and Chris Thompson as my two running backs. I understand Kerryon has struggled a little bit. I think there's going to be some passing game work, and he's going to get back on track this week. Same with Chris Thompson. I just love the pass-catching running back. Keenan Allen is my first wide receiver. Marvin Jones, I'm doing that Matthew Stafford.
A lot of Lions.
Okay, you had three Redskins, and I'm taking three undefeated Detroit Lions. That is accurate. Marvin Jones, $5,400. I think he's pretty good value here. Tyler Lockett, $6,300. Okay. I like him. Travis Kelce, I'm with you there. And I'm going Evan Engram as my flex, $5,700. Okay. I thought about going Sterling Shepard. He's only $100 more, but I really love Evan Engram. And then the Panthers are my defense. So with that being said, Al, do you want to revisit who you think is the better DFS lineup maker for Week 4?
I think this is the closest one that we've had in terms of like projecting forward. I like the stack with the Lions with Marvin Jones and Stafford. We're hoping that Kerryon Johnson gets more work in the pass game this week as well. I'm going with Mike's lineup once again here because
wow.
I like the three running backs that he has. McCaffrey's undeniable volume. Fournette getting a lot of volume, though inefficient. And Devonta Freeman, there's just nobody left there. And he's got good wide receivers and a combo there. The double stack with Keenum. I think that the upside is undeniable with Mike's lineup this week. As well as having a little bit better floor.
He's a brainiac. He's my clay. Yeah, we're getting back on track this week. A little, you know, it's a little bit of an underperformance. The optimal lineup had Matt Ryan in it last week at Indy, and that's why I used a quarterback. That was a little disappointing. So we'll get back on track, I think.
Sure, yeah, back on track to a 3-1 start for me.
Yeah,
it's going to be weird when you're 1-3, but we're going to figure it out, guys. Thank you so much. Hopefully everyone listening to this loves the Fantasy Focus DFS podcast. We're going to be doing this every week throughout the season. Make sure that you follow Al Zeidenfeld on Twitter, at Al Zeidenfeld, Zeidenfeld.
Nailed it.
At Mike Clay, that is accurate, yes. At Mike Clay NFL on Twitter. You can follow him there. I am at Daniel Dopp. And guys, we're going to be back in Week 5 breaking that down. But for now, get your lineups in. Join our contest. Head on over to find that out. Doesn't cost any money. You can still win $200.
Yep.
I mean, $200 in prizes.
Free money.
For nothing.
Free money.
We'll see you guys over there. This is our outro phrase.
Free money.